Well, good morning, everyone. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you very much to Richard and Kim for inviting me here and to just come and share my story with you this morning. And you will have noticed that there's something a little bit different about me, and I was born severely disabled. And having my disability can get me into some quite amusing situations sometimes. And when I was 17, I went to sixth form at Brimpton Green School, if any of you know it, in Yate. And the school, although it's like a mainstream school, they had a number of disabled people there at the school. And so they had some staff there, especially to help out these disabled people. And one of these members of staff came up to me one day saying, "We've just received something through the post which you might be interested in. It's regional trials for disabled athletics, basically for the southwest of England, and would you like to have a go?" And I thought to myself, I've never raced disabled people before, this could be quite good fun. So she said the event was taking place in just over 3 weeks' time, and it's down in Yeovil. So if you want to enter, you need to get your entry in pretty quickly. And so I took the forms home and I thought to myself, I'm not very quick, but I can keep going. So I entered the 1,500 metres. And then I thought, if I'm going all the way to Yeovil, what's the point in doing one race? I might as well enter a second race too. So I entered the 400 metres. Now, you have to bear in mind that at that point, I'd never run 1,500 metres before. I'd walk the distance, but I'd never run it. But I thought, oh, it'll be fine. I can train for it. And so I trained for it over those 3 weeks, and I gradually built up to the distance. And I ran the 1,500 metres twice in practice. And then it was the day of the event, and I arrived in Yeovil. And shortly after the event started, my name was called for the starting line for the 1,500 metres. And I thought it was going to be like the Paralympics, where they put you into categories according to your disability. No. There were three of us. There was me, there was someone who had cerebral palsy, and the other man who was partially sighted. He could run just like anyone else, just couldn't see so well where he was going. And I thought, this is going to go horribly wrong. Well, anyway, the race got underway, and I was soon well behind the other two, and it suddenly occurred to me, the partially sighted man, he's going to lap me. Is he going to see me? Unfortunately, he ran round me. And then the cerebral palsy man lapped me, and then the partially sighted man lapped me again. And I ended up having to run the whole last lap all on my own. And then I was coming onto the final bend with 200 metres to go, and I heard an announcement over the sound system, "Can Bart G please come to the starting line for the 400 metres? And I'm thinking, I'm on my way. So almost as soon as the 1,500 metres was over, I had to start the 400 metres. And do you know what was wrong with the winner of the 400 metres? He was deaf. My only chance was that he couldn't hear the gun. I thought, how is this fair? I've just ran the best part of a mile with my disability, and that was his first race. And the other thing about that race was there were people who came in wheelchairs, I imagine, probably to rest their legs. They all got out their wheelchairs, they all ran around and beat me, and they all got back in their wheelchairs again. So that's one of many stories that I could share with you this morning. But anyway, on to my actual story. When I was 5 years old, I went to a car auction with my family, and Dad and my brother got out the car, and I was sitting in the car with Mum, and I said to Mum, I want to become a Christian. How do I become a Christian? Because even with my limited understanding at that age, 5 years old, I had absolutely no doubt whatsoever about God's existence. And so Mum first of all explained to me the scripture from John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And she said, I need to pray and ask Jesus into my heart. And that's when I made my own personal decision and invited Jesus into my heart. Now, I've had the question asked in the past, if God is real, if God is a loving God, why hasn't he healed me of my disability? And I do believe that God can heal people, but I also believe that God can use people through the difficulty of their situation, so that his works can be displayed and for his glory to shine through that person. And one scripture I want to share with you this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. It says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So I was born severely disabled with a rare condition called arthrogryposis, which means that I have weak muscles and stiff joints. And it affects people in different ways. So, for example, one person might be affected in maybe just their arms. Other people, it might affect maybe their legs. Other people, like me, it affects their whole body. And each person is basically uniquely affected as to how severe, how bad it can be. And when I was born, the doctors told my parents that I would never walk and that I may never have the strength to be able to sit up independently. And I was just basically given no hope to be able to do anything for myself. But I was brought up in a Christian family, and the church that I went to, the pastor, he prophesied to my parents when I was a baby, saying that little by little, I would be able to do more and more new things that will amaze people. And he prayed for two things specifically. The first thing he prayed was that one day I would be physically able to walk down the aisle of the church. And this was going against what the doctors were saying. Well, anyway, I was able to sit up at quite a young age, and to get around, I'd literally just sort of shuffle across the floor to wherever I wanted to go. But I remember when I was 3 years old, I used to go to physiotherapy sessions very regularly at the Bristol Children's Hospital. And I remember this one session in particular where the physiotherapist, she propped me up against the wall. Just imagine I'm leaning against the wall now. And she let go of me and she said, "I want to see if you can start walking." And I tried and I tried and I tried, and I couldn't move away from the wall. And I was quite frustrated because there were other children at that 3 years old, my age, up on their feet and running around. And I thought, well, why can't I do that? I didn't really understand at that age what my disability meant to me. And I didn't realize that I actually looked sort of quite different from everyone else. But sometime after that, I was around 3.5 years old. And there was one night when Mum was carrying me up the stairs to go to bed. And as we were going up the stairs, I just had this thought in my head that I was going to start walking. And it was just so clear to me, even that, at that age. And so I said to Mum, "I think I'm going to start walking now." And so in the same way as the physiotherapist propped me up against the wall, Mum propped me up against the wall. And she let go of me. And I took 1, 2, 3 steps, and then I fell down. We tried it again, and I took 1, 2, 3 steps, and then I fell down. Now, someone who is physically disabled is often referred to as having physical difficulties. And you might take the word difficult and think of other words which have a similar meaning, maybe the word hard or maybe the word challenging. And is there a word that sums up these three words, difficult, hard, and challenging? And for me, that word is possible. Difficult means possible. Hard means possible. Challenging means possible. So for me, it was quite significant that I was able to start by taking 3 steps. Because if you imagine, my first step was aided by the wall. But then I was able to take 2 more independently, basically unaided, before falling down, which meant that both legs were strong enough to take me, which meant for me that walking was going to be the start of something difficult. It would be hard. It would be a real challenge for me, but I still knew it was going to be possible. And so from then onwards, it was a matter of, could I do a little bit more each day? And I remember the day after I took my first steps, I'd be downstairs at home, and my parents would prop me up against the wall at one side of the room, and I'd have to try and make it from one side to the other. And I'd get part way across and I'd fall down, and my parents would pick me up, and I'd get a bit further and I'd fall down, and then my parents would pick me up, and I eventually made it over to the other side of the room. And then I was gradually able to do more and more each day until I was able to walk without thinking about what I was doing in my own way, which is obviously different from the way everyone else walks. But for me, it was great. It meant such freedom, such independence. I didn't have to rely on anyone else to actually help me move around. So then I went to school, and I would go out with my friends to the playing field, to the playing fields or the playground at break time. And I didn't want to watch them play sport. I really wanted to try and take part in whatever I could. And you have to bear in mind that because my disability is quite rare, I didn't know anyone with the same condition as me growing up. So if I was to take part in some of these sports and activities, I'd really have to try and find my own way. And often I was worse or slower than everyone else, but the most important thing was that I was actually able to join in. And so some sports I've had a go at with things like running, football, table tennis. I had a go at rugby once, actually. I couldn't really catch the ball. I couldn't get up off the floor, but apart from that, I was all right. And swimming, just to mention a few sports. And before I carry on with my story, none of this is to say, look what I can do, but it's just to show you the miracle that God has performed in my life. So as I say this, just remember the prayer that the pastor prayed, that one day I'll be physically able to walk down the aisle of the church. So I was able to progress with my swimming, and basically, when I was 8 years old, I started having swimming lessons at school, and in my first swimming lesson, my swimming teacher, he put a life jacket on me, and he came in the shallow end of the pool with me, and he said, "I want to see if you can start swimming." Now, my disability affects my whole body, so I've got very limited use of my arms and legs. So, for example, I can't actually lift my arms any higher than that to actually keep them there. I can swing them, but there's no actual strength in my arms to keep them in the air. But the very fact that I had that bit of movement in my arms, it meant I could swim slowly in the water. And so at the end of that first lesson, my swimming teacher said, "I'm going to take your life jacket off now. I want you to go and swim down to the deep end," which for me was a bit outside of my comfort zone. But I made it in the end. It probably took me a couple of minutes to get down there because obviously it was my first time swimming without a life jacket. And then sometime after that, he wanted to teach me to dive into the pool at the deep end. And obviously most people dive in using their hands first. But for me, I can't keep my hands in the air. So he showed me a way that he thought would work for me, where I'd literally have to fall forwards into the water. And as I was underwater, I'd have to turn and come up out of the water on my back. And I was really quite scared about this. I thought, what if I can't turn when I'm underwater? What if I get stuck upside down? And I'd be stood at the side of the pool for 10 or 15 minutes, actually trying to have the courage to dive in. And I remember one time my teacher, he was so fed up with waiting for me, he just came along and pushed me in. But it actually wasn't that bad after all. And I'm so glad that he made me do this because it has opened up so many opportunities for me. So I progressed in my swimming. And when I was age around 13 or 14 years old in secondary school, I got my 800-meter swimming badge. And then regularly after school, maybe age around 22, 23 years old, I'd swim a mile each week just for fitness. And I'm always looking for new challenges, really, to sort of push the boundaries of my disability, just to see what I can physically do. And so a few years ago, I heard about the Sport Relief Swimathon, and they had three different distances on offer. It was a 5-kilometer swim, a 2.5-kilometer swim, and a 1500-meter swim. And I thought, well, I can already swim a mile, so there's no point in doing the 1500 meters. Let's go the next step up. Let's try the 2.5-kilometer swim. And I managed to train for it and complete it. And so in 2017, I wanted to go the next step further and just see if I could do the 5-kilometer swim. And if you take your average leisure centre swimming pool of 25 metres long, so it's 200 lengths of the pool. And for me, I knew this was going to be really, really difficult for me. But just the very fact that I've got that movement in my arms, I knew that I'd be able to do it if I trained hard for it. Anyway, on the day I managed to complete it, it took me about 5.5 hours, and I was really tired at the end and probably never do it again either. Also 4 years ago in 2017, someone mentioned to me about a triathlon, the first of its kind in the country, especially for disabled people. And this was being held at Eton Dorney, which is the Olympic rowing venue for the London Olympics. And I've always enjoyed watching triathlons on television, watching the Brownlee brothers compete. And I thought this is such a great opportunity for me to give it a go. And so for those of you who don't know what a triathlon is, it's a swim, a cycle, and a run. And because of it being a disability event, the distances were shorter than they would be for an able-bodied event. So I thought, let's just go for the longest distance that they offer. It was the equivalent of a sprint triathlon for an able-bodied person. So it was a 750-metre lake swim. It was a 20-kilometre cycle. And I can't ride a normal bike because I haven't got the bend in my knees. So I ride a hand cycle, which you'll see on video in just a couple of minutes. And then after the 20-kilometre cycle, it was a 5-kilometre run. And I'm not allowed to run anymore because I've had major ankle problems in the past, but I'm still allowed to walk as far as I like. So I thought, well, if I can swim, if I can hand cycle, if I can walk, let's just train for it. Let's see if I can physically do it. And I eventually managed to complete it. I remember the time. It was 4 hours, 12 minutes and 47 seconds. And the reason I remember the time is because I did the same course a year later and I just beat my time. I couldn't have got much closer. I beat it by 16 seconds. And I worked out that if I can keep beating my time by 16 seconds each year, by the time I'm 100, I should break the 4-hour mark. But I did it again a couple of years ago and I was actually a little bit slower. But and then obviously last year and this year, it was cancelled, hoping to do it next year if the event is taking place. I drive a car, which has been specially adapted for me. So most of you will have seen the car with a steering wheel in, but I don't actually have a steering wheel in my car. I steer with handlebars, just like riding a bike. And then for the horn, the wipers, the indicators and the lights, I've got the head control. It's a button on my headrest. So, for example, if I want to indicate left, I hold the button down for 2 bleeps like this. Bleep, bleep, and off. Or if I want to indicate right, it's 3 bleeps. Bleep, 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 and off. And it's on the system from 1 to 10. And this just gives me so much freedom, so much independence. And so I regularly get to share my story now. I go all over the country in churches, schools, prisons, just wherever I get invited. And having my car adapted for me just means I can get in the car myself and go. I don't need anyone else to take me. To these talks. So I think at this point, I'm going to show a short video. This video actually demonstrates how I've adapted to take part in some of these activities, and then I'll carry on afterwards. Thank you very much, everyone. So going back to when I was a baby, the second thing that the pastor prayed was that one day I'd be physically able to play the organ like my dad. And Dad played the organ every week at church, and being able-bodied to play using both hands and all of his fingers. And you have to bear in mind that when the doctors gave the bleak outlook to my parents, Mum asked the doctor with just that little bit of hope, because Dad plays the piano and the organ, is there ever any chance of me playing? And the doctors basically said, looking at my hands as they are, there's no chance whatsoever. There was even doubt that I would have the strength to press down a key. But when I was 5 years old, we already had a piano at home, and Dad would play the piano regularly just for fun, just for enjoyment. And watching him play, because he's a good musician, it really inspired me. And I thought, I would love to be able to play what you're playing. And so I asked my parents if I could start having piano lessons. And although they were told there'd be absolutely no chance of me playing, they thought it might be a challenge that I could set myself. It might be something that I could work towards. And so they arranged these piano lessons for me. Obviously, the piano is similar to play with your hands as it is with the organ. And so they set up these piano lessons. And the first thing in my first piano lesson was, did I actually have the strength to press down a key? I did with my right and I did with my left. So just the very fact that I had the strength to press down a key with both hands meant that I was going to be able to play, and it was just a matter of working out with my piano teacher how I was going to be able to progress. and work out which fingers I'd be able to use, and I still can't use all my fingers now when I play. So I've really had to sort of, adapt and try and find my own sort of technique to play. And I was able to gradually progress. And when I was age 11, I got my grade 5 piano. And then I moved to a secondary school where the new teacher couldn't take me on. So I taught myself, did a lot playing by ear. And I think Dad probably showed me some things as well. And then while I was at sixth form, I did music A level. And when I was 19, I went to Nexus, which is a Christian music college in Coventry. And I think that's probably where I really progressed as a musician. And I think from a young age, I really wanted to try and get to a standard where I could actually play in church without my playing being a distraction. And what I mean by that is because when I was younger, I'd probably have the tendency to hit down other notes as well as the notes I intended to play as well. And so it would sound quite wrong at times. So anyway, I'm actually going to play a piece for you now. I was actually asked to work this piece out when I was at Nexus, the Christian Music College, for another musician to play in the concert. And I thought, well, seeing I'm working it out by ear, I'll learn to play it myself as well. So this is His Eyes on the Sparrow.